I heard something the other day I thought was really good. If I don't live for the praises of men, then I won't die from the criticisms of men. Amen. Because we got to live to love, amen? And we're not loving because we're expecting to be loved back. We just love because we're supposed to love. Yes. You don't have to love me back, but I'm going to love you. I like me. No. Jesus loves me. That's what matters. But I've just been saying, Lord, I just want more love, more of you. I want your love shed abroad in my heart. Amen. I don't want to live out of principle. I want to live out of relationship. Amen. Where the word has become flesh in me, written on the tablets of my heart by the Holy Spirit. And the authenticity of this life is Christ manifested through us. Amen. Not us winning Bible debates or memorizing scriptures. We need to become, amen, what the word says through ingesting, through feeding on him. Amen. The living word, Jesus Christ. So he gave us the written word to reveal himself to us so that we might, through revelation, come to know the Lord. Because you cannot learn God. He has to be revealed. And this is what we're called to, is to the working of faith through love. Amen. No longer according to the letter, but by the Spirit, the ministration of the Spirit. This is the new covenant in his blood that God said, I'm going to send the Spirit of my Son into you. Amen. And he will live through you. As you yield, as you give yourself over to him, to allow him to be Lord. And how many know that we're doing ourselves a favor when we deny ourselves? And it doesn't mean to neglect yourself, absolutely not. It means to disown. I'm no longer in ownership of my life. I am under a new master, under a new ownership. I used to serve myself, and when I served myself, I was serving a corrupted nature. Amen. And Satan is behind every, amen, natural born human being, because we were born, well, let's face it, we were born fallen. Amen. Until the new birth, unto the new life in Jesus, we became a new creation. And now we live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for us. Amen. So it's not a matter of, you know, did I do enough? Have I memorized enough? Did I win the debate? It's, do I know him? And is he being revealed through my life? Is his presence being released out of me? Because what God accepts is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's spirit to spirit, amen? Not intellect to intellect. The mind, the intellect has to be renewed through the knowledge of him. Amen? So that the mind can come into agreement with the Spirit. But we don't function from the intellect. We function from the Spirit. And the mind is subject to the Spirit. It's supposed to be submitted to the authority of God. So therefore, my mind, if it's not in agreement with what God says, it has to come under the truth. Amen. Not the letter, the logos, but the living word, Jesus Christ. And this is what the world needs. They need to experience the Lord himself. Amen. That's what our responsibility is, our job is, to be a vessel. To be a vessel. And you know, I was just reading the other day where Jesus talked about, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, whenever I find in my own life where it's no longer easy and light, it means that I'm putting too much of me into it. Dying to myself is doing myself a favor. It's allowing me to get into his rest now. So when we are walking yoked together with Jesus, he says it's actually easy and it is light. When I'm not under his yoke, but I'm under the yoke of the oppressor, or the yoke that I might have placed upon myself because others expect something out of me that God's not putting on me. Now I come under the hardship of the taskmaster, the devil, because he's a hard taskmaster, but God says, my yoke is easy and light, and you're going to find rest for your soul. So if you're functioning and walking and living in the Spirit, there's going to be rest for you in that. There's going to be refreshing for you in that place. This is making sense. See, this was the new covenant. This is what Jesus was came to reveal to us. Jesus didn't burn out, folks. Come on. And he was in obedience to the Father. He was doing what he saw the Father do, and he was saying what he heard his Father speak. So Jesus didn't have his own agenda. See, we come under a hard taskmaster when we have our own agenda. Or we're going to worship God this way. That may work for you, but for me, this is how it works. Well, you find out it doesn't work unless it's his way. And so God will allow us to do what we desire to do, but with the intent that eventually we're going to wake up and realize that, you know what, his way really is better. You know, sometimes we don't want to ask God what he really feels about it, because we're afraid he may answer us in a way that's not in agreement with what we already wanted anyways. You know, sometimes even people will ask, maybe you or ask me, for advice. But in their heart, they've already made up their mind. In other words, you give them the advice and they just do what they're going to do anyways. What they're hoping is to find somebody that would agree with them. But they're not listening to God. And so they're under that heavy yoke of performance, of self-will. Praise God. I'm free. God wants to set you free from you. We're hard on ourselves. Anybody here beside myself hard on yourself? We're harder on ourselves. Amen. And God is not. He wants his people to walk in freedom. He wants his people to experience the joy of fellowship, of just living life with him, doing life together with Jesus. And when we do life together with Jesus, we will find that our desire will be to do what pleases him. His will would become our desire. And he'll work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not based upon expectations of men, but what we know the Lord desires and what pleases him. How many know that we don't need the validation of men? We just need God to say, well done. Sometimes, folks, I just pray and I say, God, I just need to hear from you again. I just need to get some validation from you. Amen. Because I'm not going to find it from people. As much as I love people and I love you, you can't keep me. You know, you can't save me. I can't save you. I can point you to the one who can. And the one where you find rest. Because if you depend on me, you'll become codependent. Amen. And I'm not one of those pastors that allows that to happen. I'm just going to tell you, I love you too much to say, I'm sorry, but I'm not your savior. You know, God may use me in a gift or work through me to minister the life of the Spirit into you. However, it's up to you to run with him. Amen. And to walk with him. And my responsibility is to point you to the one. Amen. Well, it's one of those things. Sometimes, you know, when I'm in my study, how many have prepared messages before here? Just show of hands, you prepared messages, you taught a class or, you know. And sometimes you say, oh, God, what do you want me to say? And what are we going to talk about? And sometimes God is right there and he goes, talk about this. And other times it's like, hello, God, are you there? And he's trying to teach us to trust him. And not to try to function from a place that is predictable, that is canned, that is something we did, but to allow him to flow out of our lives very spontaneously, very in season. Sometimes we're preaching something that's really not related to the season we're in. Or sometimes we can just kind of go through the motions, you know. And, you know, the letter of the law destroys, but the Spirit gives life. So we need to hear from the Lord and speak the word that He is speaking. And how many here love the Psalm, 23rd Psalm? I've found many times comfort in that Psalm. Another one of my favorites, of course, is Psalms 91. You know, you can camp out there the rest of your life and find it's good, especially that verse 1, amen, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's a good place to begin and a good place to continue from, to function from. So I want us to take a look at Psalms 23 again today. It's been several years, but I just feel like God's going to download and He's going to impart fresh manna, fresh bread through this. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 23, we'll begin with verse 1. Heavenly Father, I ask You, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, to grant me utterance to speak Your word. Lord, keep me tuned into Your voice this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The first verse is talking about a decision. The Lord is my shepherd. You cannot say that unless you are following Him. There are many people that consider Jesus to be their shepherd, but the sheep aren't following the shepherd. So He's not really their shepherd at all. He is the shepherd when we are following Him. Because sheep are dumb. Amen? And sheep need a shepherd. And He will protect the sheep. And He will lead them into good places. And He will deliver them from their enemies, and He will protect them from noxious weeds and from stagnant pools and, you know, poison wells and places where they shouldn't be drinking. But it all begins with this first verse, in that we have to, first of all, choose, make a decision that from now on, I'm going to follow Jesus. And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's a personal choice. And David was not ashamed to confess the Lord as his shepherd. He was a king, and yet he was a humble king. He was submitted to God's lordship. Amen? And he says, I shall not want. That means we have an assurance of God's provision. Psalms 34 and 10 says, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, if God is your Father and the Lord is your shepherd, you know, we can believe God to take care of us and take care of our needs. But it all goes back to verse 1 again, that we are following the shepherd. The reason we get into trouble is because we're not following the shepherd, but we're going our own way. And sometimes we're asking the shepherd to bless our way, which he will not do. Amen? So we need to know him and know his way and follow in his way. And as we do so, he will give wisdom if we need wisdom. Amen? He will give us the power to get wealth if we need, amen, to finances in our lives. God is a father to us. And he, as a father, wants to provide, wants to take care of his children, of his sheep. He wants to do that. But sometimes he gets blamed because we're not doing what we were called to do. And when he was speaking, we weren't listening. And sometimes nations, folks, you know, are not listening. Amen? When God has been speaking over and over again, kind of sound like America lately, right? God's been speaking and warning and telling us, you need to come back. You need to return to your God. Amen. And nations that continue to resist the Lord will finally be given over to their own devices and to their own ways. And they will lose the blessing of God. And then there's this thing called famine. Amen. Difficult times result. Why? Because when a people sin willfully against the Lord, the God of heaven, they defile the land because of our position that God gave us stewardship over this earth. Did he not? And when we sin against God, it causes the land itself to become defiled. And when the land is touched by sin, it actually begins to revolt. It convulses under that. And it will begin to dry up. Things will begin to happen. How many see some things going on right now in our nation? As we stubbornly continue to resist God and insist on having our own way. But God, as our provider, amen, he's going to take care of us one way or another. God is able to make water come from a rock. Amen. He's able to provide manna in the wilderness. God says this, do not fear those things that are coming on the earth. Trust in me. Trust in me. I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? Are we worried? Are we living in fear? No. God will make a way. God can multiply a little bit if we give it to him. He makes me, the Lord, the shepherd, makes me to lie down in green pastures. What's this talking about? I think about a nice, cool, you know, lawn. You ever lay down in the grass and it just feels so good sometimes? And you can just, sometimes we like to go down to the park and just, you know, put a blanket out and just chill and lay down and just, you know, relax, rest in that place. Well, he's talking about a place in your heart. And often when we go to the Shelton Rehab and we sing to the folks over there or sing with them, we do that old hymn called In the Garden. And he walks with me and talks with me, you know, and tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And I tell the folks, you may be in a nursing home, but the garden is not going to be found here. Amen. The garden's not going to be found in great wealth. The garden is in your heart. Wherever the Lord is a garden. Amen. It's a paradise. Jesus is heaven. It wouldn't be heaven without him. So there's that place of rest in the Spirit. God wants us to enter in to that place where we cease from our works or our striving or struggling. How many can identify with that? Sometimes we just get into strife and struggle and sometimes, you know, God just said, sit down. I'm trying to talk to you. Relax. Take it easy. Isn't it true that sometimes it's not until we sit down and we relax that we all of a sudden we start hearing God? God, if you don't answer in 5 minutes, then I'm going to run over here and I'm going to burn up the plastic. You know, God tests us sometimes that way. Are we going to wait on him or are we going to just trust in our own wisdom? And then we come back to God and we blame God for our situation. Well, he says, if you had listened to me before, hello, when I was trying to get your attention, but you were in too much of a hurry. God wants us to rest in him. In him we'll find refuge. And you're not going to find it. How many have discovered this world? You can go on vacation, be stressed out. Especially if you have kids, right? You need rest in your spirit. And if you're finding rest or contentment in your spirit, then out of that place you can live. You live and function out of rest. That's what God is trying to teach us. And so God will allow us to run off on our way and do these things out of panic until we fail over and over again. For what reason? So we will learn that his way is best. That his yoke is actually easy. His burden is light. Matthew 11:28. I love this. Come unto me, all you who labor. All you who are just stressed out over life, and even those who had been under the oppression of religious people who are putting heavy loads on them that even they themselves could not bear, And God said, Jesus said, come to me. This is what I've always wanted from the very beginning, is I've wanted a people. I've wanted a family. You're my family. Amen? You kids don't have to stand outside on the porch and beg to come in. You come in. There's a refrigerator in there. Amen? If you're hungry, go eat. God wants to feed us. God wants to satisfy us. He wants us to come to Him and to enjoy His fellowship. You see, sometimes we're pursuing ministry. We're pursuing things to do for God. But we're not pursuing the walk with God. And everything comes out of the walk with God that's worth anything. If you want fruit that will remain, it comes out of the walk with God, not the work for God. You want to serve the Lord? Start by just worshiping Him in spirit. Amen? Cultivating that relationship. And you'll discover that all of a sudden, He'll start to work in you both to will and to desire to do certain things for Him. And it won't be you. It'll be the grace of God working in you. Is that making sense? Otherwise, we can put people under guilt trips and put them in a situation where they feel obligated to do something. If I don't do something, they're going to judge me. Well, again, don't live to please men. And then if they disapprove of you, you're not going to be devastated. Amen. What really matters is that you're doing what God told you to do. And I'll tell you this, that if you're doing what God told you to do, then you're going to serve His people. But you're not going to do it out of obligation. You're going to do it joyfully and willingly. If your heart's right with God, it'll be love that compels you. It'll be the love of God that will motivate you to serve and to serve God's people. Isn't that what we're called to do? This is my commandment, that you love. Love one another. So He leads me beside the still waters. What is the still waters? Amen. It's not a stagnant pool. But it's gentle, gentle waters. And it talks of refreshing. Amen. He is our refreshing. Acts 3:19 says, repent. Turn away. Change your mind about the way you're going, the way you're doing things. Stop it. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, sometimes the reason why people don't understand and don't experience the refreshing of God is because they don't repent. They may come to church and they may go through the routine, go through the motions, and they can, just being in the presence and being around God's people, they can feel so wonderful and good, but if you're not repentant in your heart, you can walk out of this building and go right back into the same funk. Amen? But when we have truly repented from our heart, then we are in position for God to bless and refresh our lives. So God is saying, listen, let's reason together. Change your mind. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I want to bring you into a place where you can be positioned now for me to bless you. Amen? And give you a refreshing in your soul. But I can't until you come into agreement with me. I'm not going to force you, but I'm inviting you to come to the waters. I'm inviting you to turn away from you and come to me. Amen? And let your way go. I'm ready to take up my cross and follow Jesus now. And you'll find a refreshing. He will send times of refreshing, seasons of refreshing. Sometimes you're going to go through dry periods, but that dry period will make you appreciate the blessing that much more when it comes. Amen? How many know that if you're constantly getting rain, 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 rain all the time? Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Some crops will rot if that happens. There has to be dry times too. But there's always the sun. Amen? There's always the presence of the Lord. He's always there to make His light shine upon us. To give us, sometimes we may not feel Him, but He'll give us direction. He'll still show us what step to take. Just keep on walking with Him. The devil's a cruel taskmaster, but the Lord gives refreshment. And he gives it exclusively to the sheep of his pasture. Amen? It's not for everybody else. It's only for his sheep. Are you his child today? Been born of his Spirit? Amen? Have you changed your mind about the way you're living? Have you received the refreshing of the Lord? Amen. Well, you can. Then he restores my soul. It's in that place of refreshment, place of rest, where there's restoration as well. He wants to restore. As a matter of fact, the Lord is jealous over you and I. He doesn't like what the devil has done to you. Even though we sometimes had willfully listened to him, God still does not like what's happened to you because God loves you that much. As a matter of fact, God wants to bring justice to his people. Did you know that? That God is a God of justice for his people too? That you can cry out to God? You can say, God, avenge me of mine adversary. Amen? God is a God of justice. He wants to bring justice. He wants the devil to pay back what he stole. But you've got to plead your cause before the throne. Amen? Once you've repented, then you can plead your case before God. Amen? And God will say, okay, we're going to turn this thing around. In the areas where the devil has stolen, I'm going to fill you up with me. Come on. Amen? I mean, God can turn financial situations around. Amen? Family situations around. Relationships. God can turn any situation around if we just get into agreement with him, start listening to his voice, and realize he's smarter than we are. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So he restores. And that word restores means to turn around or to take back. So when God restores, what it's saying is God says, come on back. Come on, you're heavy laden. You're stressed out. You're troubled. Just come on back. Put everything on stop. Amen. Set your agenda aside. Lay it down at the altar. If God says pick it up, then pick it up. If he says leave it there, leave it there. Get into rest. Get into the place where you're going to be able to hear. You ever had anybody, you're trying to talk to them and they were kind of like walking away? And you're like, Sometimes we're like that, you know. God's trying to talk to us and we're just like, he's like, no. Would you listen, right? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Wow. I don't even know that God is our righteousness. And we are declared righteous in him. Not in ourselves, not in our performance, not in our goodness. But my trust, my faith, my hope is in Jesus Christ, his blood and his righteousness. He will clothe us in himself. And he makes us righteous. Amen? How many are trying to earn righteousness? It doesn't work. You receive righteousness. You don't earn grace, you receive grace. How do you receive grace? By changing your mind about the way you're going and saying, okay, God, where's the grace at? It's right here in my presence. You got to turn away from yourself to get there. Turn away from you. Go to him. Grace, mercy at the throne. How many find yourself there often? I do. Daily. I need to come to my Father's throne. I need to pray. I need to seek his face. It's not always the easiest way, would you agree? But it's the right way. It's the safe way. It's the blessed way. For his name's sake. For two reasons, really. One is that we'll be holy, like him, and that we'll bring glory to his name. How many want to glorify the Lord? How many before you were a Christian, you didn't care? If you have a desire to glorify the Lord, that's a good sign. If you don't, you're in trouble. And you need to get right with God. How many times have we read this one? Oh. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What is this talking about? Companionship. Companionship. We're never alone. Never alone. You know, we're lonely sometimes even in a crowd. I've been in meetings, I've been in crowd. I've been in ministers' meetings where There's like, it didn't seem to make any connections or just, you know what I'm talking about? But I'm never alone because the Lord is with me. And there's sometimes when we go through those valleys that everything is dark. It's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. But the Lord says, I'm going to be with you there. He didn't say, I'm going to take you out of it. I'm going to go with you through it. Because you're going to learn to trust me. That you don't have to fear for your life. I am your life. In me, you live. I'm the one that decides whether you have your next breath. So why don't we just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to live for you. Because you're the one that makes the final decision, the determination. The safest place to be is in the will of God. He said, if you try to save your life, you will. If you give your life away, you find it. Even in the most uncertain times, His promise to never leave us. It gives us that confidence to go on. There's been times, folks, I know you have those times too. You just feel so like God is so far away. And you know, you haven't even done anything that you can think of that was wrong. It's just like, God, what happened? What's going on here? Did I sin? You know, did I miss the mark? What's going on? And then we have to go back to what God promised and said, I'll never leave you. I want you to trust me. I want you to learn to trust me when you don't feel me. So that when things don't feel good, you'll still trust me. It's one thing not feeling His presence, amen. It's another thing having to suffer for Jesus' sake. And God is allowing us to go through some things, really small things right now, to prepare us for whatever is coming ahead so that we can still have joy in the midst of it. Even as the disciples could have joy, even though they were flogged for Jesus, it was a supernatural impartation of God's grace and ability for them to rise up above it and actually live in a place of joy in the midst of suffering. It's only possible through Jesus Christ. But God has grace for whatever you face. Hey, I'm going to write that down. That's pretty good. I'm going to get the tape. And you know, we've heard this before, but wherever there's a shadow, there is a light. So though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if there's a shadow, that means there's a light. And the sun is always there. The sun always remains. S-O-N. Jesus. And then this is the part that we have to understand about God's ways. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, you can't just... That has to be a revelation here, you know. Rod and staff comfort me. You know, one is for correction. Did you know that? And the rod sometimes, you know, the shepherd would have to kind of get your attention. You know, but it's a comfort to know that God loves us enough to discipline us. And He also comforts us. And the staff, you know, where He could reach out and kind of gently hook that thing around our neck and pull us back to where we need to be, you know. But that's God's love for us and for His people. As a good shepherd. The shepherd that loves us so much that He gave Himself for us. He laid His life down for us. That's how much He loves you and loves me. He loves His sheep. And He wants us to know that there's protection. You know, when we follow Him, when the Lord is our shepherd, He's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us. But everything, do you understand everything is hinging on that first verse there, folks? You've got to repent and allow God to be your shepherd. You've got to be done with your ways before you're ready for His ways. So these instruments were for two reasons. One is for defense and one is for deliverance. The Lord will protect us from the wolves, amen? Because He cares about His sheep. But we've got to be looking at the shepherd. You've heard it said before, but when a wolf growls, the sheep don't look at the wolf. They look at the shepherd. You know, or we should. We should learn from that example that when we hear the wolf, we just call, Jesus! Amen. Sometimes you just need to call out the name of the Lord. Amen. God, when you say Jesus, he understands who you're talking about, by the way. There's power in that name. Amen. The Greek. Hallelujah. He's with us. He's for us. You ever notice that, you know, with our kids even, when we discipline them, I trust that you have and do. I hope that you do. Because discipline is a loving thing to do. But when you discipline them, you know, that they find security in that. They may not like it, but they'll find security in that. And they'll know that mom and dad are there to protect them. They love them enough to give them an owie if necessary to get them back into the place where they can be protected underneath, amen, the canopy of their authority that God has given them as mom and dad. So our children need the discipline. So likewise, our Father disciplines us. And in that, we can find security. Thank God that he does. I thank God that there's times when I begin to stray in my mind. And I pray, Lord, if I even begin to stray in my mind or I start to look at things I shouldn't, smite me with conviction. Make me feel miserable about it. I pray that way. And you know what? God does that. And so we can learn, all right, life here, death there. I choose life. And then he goes on to say, you prepare a table before me. I love this one. Where? In the presence of my enemies. That's talking about provision. Where the enemy can't touch you. He can rebuke the devourer in your life. If you honor him. Are you listening to him? Amen. Do what God tells you to do with your substance, with your increase. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. You want the enemy out of your finances? Give it to God. Commit it to God and say, God, you decide. You tell me where and what. Amen. To give. And do it cheerfully. Give cheerfully. This is a good time for an offering. All right. How many know the gift that God is really looking for is you? He's really looking for you. He wants you to gift yourself to him. When you gift yourself to him, he makes you a gift to others. How many know that you're a gift? It's okay to say that. I am a gift to this world. If God didn't want you here, he'll just take you out. God wants you here. He wants you to be a blessing. And so he blesses you to be a blessing. And so as you gift yourself back to God, then he will make you that gift to others. Amen? Do it cheerfully because we're walking in the Spirit. We're not doing it out of obligation. We're doing it because we want to. When we have his heart in us, 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. He who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. Now we know that the devil can't touch God. Would you agree? Except through you or me. He can't touch God, but he can hurt God by hurting you and I, by getting us to listen to him. That's all he's got is deception. Listen to me. Just listen to me. I know better than God. Because he wants to get at God. And he wants to get at him through you and I. That's why we should never submit ourselves or give ourselves over to the devil or listen to that voice or do anything that would grieve the heart of our God. Amen, our Father. If you love Jesus, you will obey his commandments. And so whoever has been born of God keeps himself. That's talking about being in a place where you will resist temptation. You will not submit yourself to evil. Amen. You keep yourself. By the grace of God, you're able to do that. How many know that you have self-control already? You just need to tap into it. If you're in Christ, you have all that you have need of. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things are in Christ. You have self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we have to choose it. We have to tell our body that you are my servant. You are not my master. And you resist. I've said this before. You know, I'm talking about some of you guys. And I'm preaching to myself today, too, by the way. There's that. The temptations that we face today, you know. I think we have more temptations today than ever in history because of the media. Instant this, instant that. Everything flashing in your face. This is how you overcome it. This is how you resist the devil. You keep telling him, no. Not going there. You're wasting your time. Standing your ground. Having all to do. What? Do stand your ground. Stay armored up in the presence of God. Begin to call on the Lord. And listen, the enemy will eventually figure out that I'm wasting my time here. I've got better things to do, he'll say. And he'll leave you. But if he knows that all it takes is just a little bit of pressure, come on, and that you're going to give in, he'll keep coming back. As a matter of fact, the next time you open the door, he'll say, boys, come on. We've got an opening right here. How many know what I'm talking about? A little compromise opens the door for great compromise. So how do you risk this? You just say, no. Not going there, not going to do it. Speak to the hand. And eventually, this is the same thing with addiction. You just say, no, I'm not under the power of that anymore. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. I now have the power to say no to the flesh and to that nature and to resist every temptation. It doesn't matter. I have the ability in Christ to say no. And what happens is those spirits, and there are spirits of addiction, they will realize that this person has no longer given them legal access to torment their life, and they'll say, well, boys, that means we have to go. Why? Because we don't have a willing vessel anymore. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Stand your ground. But if they know, oh, last time all we had to do is push him or her to this point, and they gave in. Guess what? They'll come back and do it again and again and again until you finally make up your mind. You repent and say, no, I've changed my mind. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ. And God has given me the ability to say no to sin. Why? Because I'm no longer under the power of sin. How many here are no longer under the power of sin?
Hallelujah.
If you didn't put your hand up, at least say yes. Nod. If you're not under the power of sin, then it has no more control over you. Why? You're no longer a slave to it. You're free, man, in Christ to walk a new life. So all he can do is tempt you. If you say no and you're consistent about it, the devil will leave you. And guess what? You can walk free. Is that an easy enough way to say it? We'll finish with this one. I love this. After God makes that provision for us, where all the enemy can do is watch as you dine in the presence of the Lord and he can't touch you because you keep yourself by the grace of God. Faith in God, amen, is the victory that overcomes the world. Then the Lord says, I'll anoint your head with oil. How many know that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him? We don't always talk about that verse. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Sometimes people are getting another Jesus and another spirit because they're living in sin, willfully disobedient to God, and yet they're pursuing power, and they get a counterfeit spirit, and they think it's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is given to a holy vessel. So we get into obedience, and yes, Lord, we're going to walk with you. We're going to listen to your voice. And then God says, now you're in position for me to anoint, because God would anoint prophets, priests, and kings. But they had to first get into position. They had to humble themselves. Get into position for the anointing. Amen? Amen? So we get into position. We humble our souls before God. And then he anoints our heads with oil. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Amen? And our cup will run over. Ooh! Hallelujah. You know what else? The oil, and we went through this a few weeks ago, but the oil will protect the sheep's head from parasites. The devil can't touch you, amen? He can't touch the anointing. It will protect you. The Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me. Keep your head, keep your helmet, amen, on. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are called to be a kingdom of priests. Amen? We are a kingdom of priests and kings unto God. And so he anoints not just select people as in the old covenant, such as prophets, priests, and kings, but today the Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And the ones who are going to be the recipients, the ones who are going to be blessed of God, are the ones who are in agreement with the Spirit of God. Those who are obedient, he will give his Spirit to. Amen? You see, God is, I believe today, folks, right now, as I speak, God is pouring out his Spirit. He's pouring out his Spirit throughout the earth. But not everybody's receiving it. Not everybody's receiving it. Why is that? Because they're not in position to receive it. And that's why we need the truth. That's why we need the Word of God. Amen? To point out the fact that we're not in position to receive what God has. And by the law is a knowledge of sin. And when we become guilty before God and understand that I'm not in position for that blessing, then I can confess my sins and he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And when I am in agreement with him and in position, the Lord anoints me with oil, and then my life begins to overflow the life of Jesus again. Sometimes the reason why we're not overflowing is because we're not under the, we don't have the oil on us. Why? Because we disconnected from the Lord. Is this making sense? You can have Jesus in your house and completely ignore him. You can invite somebody into your house. They can be sitting in your living room and you can go on your merry old way and completely ignore them. You haven't had fellowship. They're there, but you've disconnected. There's no exchange of life between the two of you. You understand? That's how it works. So we worship the Lord in spirit. And the heart of our home is right here. Amen? And we got to let God in every area. We got to say, God, you're welcome. You're welcome to go into the attic, the closet, the basement, every room. Oh, don't go into that. Well, yes, you can go into that room too. Let God in every room so that your whole being will be full of his light.